Welcome to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show that teaches you how to become stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and much more. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Matto.
Hey, welcome back to episode 130 of the David Matto Lifestyle Show. And as you know, this is the show where I help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. Actually, a lot more. And if you're a frequent listener, you can repeat that back probably in your sleep. You've heard that so many times, and it's true. And I have a blast doing this. As you know, I love it, and I appreciate you as a listener. So thanks so much for being back with us today. And I've got a special surprise for you today. As you know, back in the old days of the show, of the David Matto Lifestyle Show, I had frequent guests on the show. But for some reason, I don't know, over the past several months, you've only had me. I just kind of get on and I talk about a subject and we're here together and it's only you and me. But today, I'm going to surprise you with a very special guest. She's been on before. I have a copy of her brand new book in front of me. And before I tell you who she may be, you can guess maybe, because her book is called The Help Yourself Cookbook for Kids. And if you're thinking, and if you think my guest could be Ruby Roth, then guess what? You are totally correct, and you win the grand prize, which I have no idea what the grand prize is, so just hold tight and we'll figure out what the grand prize is. But without further ado, let's bring in Ruby. Ruby, how's it going there?
I'm good. I'm so happy to come back on your show. Fun.
Well, it's great to have you back. I remember the last time we did this, it was quite some time ago, and I wanted to actually start off by saying something too, because I don't remember if I share this with you last time, but even if I did, bear with me, because it's something, we have a lot of new listeners all the time, and it's something that is worth repeating. I don't remember if you know this, but I was listening to you on the, I think it was called the Aaron Red podcast.
Yes.
The Red Radio. And did I tell you back then that you and Aaron were perhaps two of the people that actually got me interested and got me to go vegan? Do you remember that?
I totally remember,
you remember that
story. I think you were listening to it in the car.
I was listening to it in the car. I was with my wife and we were pulling up to an Indian restaurant. And as it turned out, the Indian restaurant was a vegetarian, I'm pretty sure vegan, but at least a vegetarian Indian restaurant.
Kismet.
And what's that?
Kismet. Yeah, like serendipity.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, exactly. So we're listening and we pulled up into the parking lot and the show kept going on and I kept listening to you and to Aaron and it was so interesting to me. And I still remember to this day, one of the things you said on the show, and I don't know whether this is like a famous tagline of yours or something you say all the time when you speak or when you're on somebody else's show, but you said, Aaron asked you a question. I think she said something to you. So, are you shoving this information down people's throats? And your answer was, you just very calmly said, no, I really don't believe in shoving anything down people's throats, but my goal is to give other people enough information so they don't shove the wrong things down their throats. Or that was
exactly.
Not a great paraphrase, but I think I quoted you, okay, fairly close. But
that is definitely a philosophy.
But I never forgot that. And from that day on, we went into the Indian restaurant, and of course, that was a veggie restaurant. And speaking of serendipity, there was at the same time there was like a vegan meetup going on in there. There was like a big table of people there, and you could tell one guy was totally in charge, and they were having this vegan meetup, and they were talking about all vegan stuff, and it just everything kind of came together that day, and from then on we were vegan. And so I want to thank you again. I'm sure I probably thanked you last time you were on, but you played a big part in my life and didn't even realize it. So
I love that story and it's one of my favorites and I will not forget it.
Okay, great. Now, and I remember last time we had you on, I had a copy and I still have this copy right in front of me. That's Why We Don't Eat Animals. I don't know if that was your first book or your second book.
Yeah, it was the first.
Very first one. And you,
2009.
2009. And not only did you write the entire book, but you illustrated it, and it's really cool. And I've got it sitting in front of me here still. My grandson is, God, how old is he? I think he's 2.5. So I don't even know his age exactly, but he's 2.5. I still think he's a little bit too young for me to bring this down to him. But it's another bit of a dilemma too, because his parents, my daughter and my son-in-law, they're very, very strict omnivores, and right. I don't know how much they like me giving their child, my grandson, this book, but we're gonna work it in one way or another. I promise you.
Yeah, well, that is the exact mission of my new book, and we can talk about that, but. That was a request that I got a lot from people, vegan people who wanted a book that they could share with their friends and family and non-vegan community where they didn't feel like they were pressuring the recipient.
So you're now referring to the Help Yourself Cookbook, the one that's coming out, Cookbook for Kids, the one that's coming out April 5th.
Yes.
And so let's talk about this for a second. I've got it in front of me. I've looked through the recipes. And by the way, I've got to tell you something. I know this is written for kids, but I think I have a feeling on another hand, you wrote this for adults to enjoy too, because I'm looking at some of these pictures and some of these recipes. And I've got to tell you, things like the, what do I have here? I had a great page earlier. It was, I think I can't find the page right now. The crowd pleaser kale salad.
Yes.
I mean, now that is something that I would love to make for lunch. That's not just for kids, is it?
No. And my philosophy behind this book is that it was specifically not kid food, which in my research of kids' cookbooks seemed to be very bland, super high carbohydrate, salt and sugar and no greens. And I feel like we need to raise our standards as a society to meet the capabilities of children. So I think getting kids an early start on whole foods and greens it's very easy to normalize that in a child's life.
Now, how do we do it if, though, the parents are not really on board? Because I can give you an example. A few weeks ago, I'm in Breckenridge, Colorado, skiing with my wife, and we just love to do that. We love the mountains. But one of the things I notice all the time when we're skiing and around a big group of people is that, you know, people get hungry. And during lunch, people go into the lodge, into the restaurants on the mountain. And I see this, I'd say 99% of the time, the whole family, you know, mom and dad and the little kids, they're eating lunch that just, it's repulsive to me. I mean, they're eating not only that they're eating dead animals, but they're eating fried, like chicken type nugget food and the greasy French fries and the soft drinks. This is what the whole family is eating. And I'm thinking, like, this is not going to be an easy family to convert to something healthy. And even if the kids maybe get a hold of this book, or somebody gets a hold of the book in the family, how do you change a whole family over?
Well, I think 100 million billion percent, and that's a scientific fact, of parents want their kids to eat more fruits and vegetables. They want their kids to be eating healthy food. Even if the family hasn't made the transition yet, I think all parents want that deeply. They want a quality of life and health for their children. So I designed this book to be super appealing. It is, every single page is full color photo and just bursting with colorful food and illustrations. And it's not apparently at first glance about health or pushing health or pushing veganism at all. This is just a really fun book that is designed for, you know, kids ages 0 to 100 to enjoy and flip through. And I wanted to create a book that I would enjoy reading, because I think that often resources for children are dumbed down and, again, don't meet their actual psychological, physical, or spiritual capabilities.
Well, I love how you started it off. It's first off, you have an introduction, a note from the author, and this is actually geared to the kids. So you're talking to the kids probably since you were born. Someone has been making your meals, and it goes on and on, explains to the kids why they're what they're going to get out of this book. And I loved it. And then I love the section you have right after that, meet some ingredients. Now, I've read through this, and it has a lot of the ingredients that maybe the general population they're so used to eating fast food and pizza and things like that, maybe they don't even know about some of these things like algae and what do you have? almond flour, Bragg liquid aminos. I mean, most people don't know about that. And I learned something even I was looking, and mochi. Wow, I love mochi too. But I learned something when I was reading the, where is it? The I think you had something, nutritional yeast. You know, I love nutritional yeast. We eat a lot of it here. We put it on salads and soups, but I didn't even realize that it was so high in vitamin B12. So I learned something within 15 seconds of reading your book right there.
Great. Yeah, that resources page is just to explain some of the staples of a plant-based diet that might be new to people, but they're certainly not new or not inaccessible at all. At any health food store has these. And, you know, during my research, I went into very mainstream grocery stores and I could see that the plant-based influence is happening on the mainstream because there were a lot of superfoods that are now accessible at these stores, from cacao to goji berries and chia seeds and hemp seeds. They're all starting to infiltrate. So it's becoming very easy to make healthier choices, you know, that are right at your fingertips where you don't have to do a tremendous amount of research and you know, even ordering food off the internet, which a lot of people have done for many years because it wasn't accessible. So, you know, when you're getting a whole family to transition and make healthier choices, that was one of my priorities in this book, to make the ingredients accessible. And most of the ingredients in the book are things that, you know, people already buy, from quinoa to lentils to greens. They're available in any store.
And I agree, it's definitely getting a lot easier these days. I've even in the past couple, I'd say year to 2 years, it's a lot of these things are becoming more mainstream and you can find them in regular, quote unquote, regular grocery stores. Now you have a little section before you actually get started with your actual recipes called Mine, A Letter to Grownups. And this actually is not geared to the kids, but it's geared to like the mom or dad reading this book. Why did you put that in there?
That is a letter to parents. The rest of the book is written directly to kids. The language speaks directly to children. But I wanted to address the fact that a lot of parents feel very iffy and ambivalent about bringing kids into the kitchen. They're afraid the flour is going to, you know, burst open, and there's no flour in this book, but or some, you know, things are going to spill and break. Or they would just rather hurry up and do it themselves. But I think it's a lost opportunity to get kids in the kitchen and engaged, not only for the practical benefits of normalizing healthy foods, raw, whole ingredients, but also, you know, larger picture skills like language and motor skills and decision making and critical thinking and exercising the innovator's mind. So my letter and goal there was to say, hey, we have this opportunity as adults to teach the next generation some great skills and to really help them help themselves. So it was just a word of encouragement to bring kids into the kitchen and not be afraid.
Right. Be willing to share your kitchen. The kitchen maybe that you haven't shared with your kids in the past, maybe that you felt it was totally your domain. You don't want the kids in there with the sharp instruments or whatever. But now it's time to share. Let them be involved and let them see that they can make some pretty cool, healthy choices themselves. I love it. And I love the way you incorporate. I think in your previous books, it was mainly your artwork, your drawing. But now it looks like you've actually incorporated photography of the actual recipes along with your really cool artwork. So I love the way the thing, it just reads very, very well.
Photos were a prereq. I love cookbooks with photos. So
yeah,
every single page of this book is a full color photo.
Did you do the photography yourself?
I did not. I brought in a photographer because that is not my skill. And it took quite skill to lay out these pages. But the illustrations and the design are all mine.
Yeah, I could tell that. It's interesting. I just can only imagine you had to prepare every one of these recipes, make it look good, make the plate or the bowl look really good, and then have the photographer in there. How many days of cooking and photography did this take? I mean, I know you didn't do it in one day. There's no way you could have prepared all that stuff in one day.
The build up before to the actual week of the photo shoot was, you know, an entire summer of planning every minute of every day, you know, figuring out what color palette and which characters were going on which pages and how the book would be laid out and what bowls and plates we would use. But we shot all 60 plus recipes in 5 days. So it was a ton of work, even for a simple book like this. But I'm really happy with the team that I had, the photographer, and we did have a food stylist to help, which was great. But, you know, again, none of this was all natural lighting and, you know, nothing that a commercial food stylist would use. There was no paint, no altering of the food itself. We were completely using unadulterated food that I bought from the farmers markets and from my local stores.
That's really cool. Was it done in your kitchen?
It was done in my house. Yeah,
oh,
in my living room.
Beautiful. That's great. I love it. I really love the book. Ruby, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know if you'll be able to answer this. It's a really tough one. But if you had to pick out your absolute favorite recipe in this book, what would it be? There are so many cool ones, but I want to hear your favorite.
My go-tos that I probably make the most are the kale salads. And that's funny that you picked that one right out. But the crowd pleaser is something that I make when we have parties. It's just kale that is softened with olive oil and a couple of other little toppings. But it's something that I use as my introductory card to most people, whether we're having a party or we're attending a potluck. And I also love that spread because my helper bunny, which is the main character throughout the book, is helping on those pages with chopping and cutting of the kale.
I see that. So speaking of kale, funny story for you. I was, Yoko and I, my wife Yoko and I were in New York a few days ago, and we had to, I'd never been in Champ's Diner in Brooklyn. It's the very famous all vegan diner. And we stopped in there, and I was telling my dad that evening that we stopped in there, had a great vegan meal. And he asked what we got. And I said, well, one of the things I got was a really cool kale salad. And I was trying to explain to him, my dad is 86 years old. And I was trying to explain to him that the kale is actually raw. And he was having a really tough time understanding how people could eat raw kale. And I said, Dad, it's not only delicious, but it's so good for you. I think it's never too late to turn your parents onto good food. But
absolutely.
Funny kale story there. And
and it's one of the most nutritionally dense foods on the index.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a cruciferous vegetable. It's really, really nutritious, healthy. And I love your broccoli bisque, which looks delicious. It looks like a broccoli, some type of broccoli bisque. I'm going to make that too.
Yeah. I mean, it's so simple. And one of the things I did in this book is simplify the process. So, you know, if I was making it myself, I might saute each ingredient separately as I add it to the pot. But for use in this book, we throw everything into the pot at the same time and then blend it up after, and it tastes just as good. And I think it's easier and quicker for people to do than the better for this book.
You know, I think the fact that you made it kid-friendly also makes it dad-friendly, because I am not what you call like a good – I'm not like a good chef, a good cook. And something that's really easy for me to make like this broccoli bisque, it looks delicious. And it's not intimidating. There's not like a list of 1,000 ingredients and then, you know, 2 pages of directions. It's all in one page. It's really, really easy. I see you have an adult alert here because you have to bring the pot to a boil. But this is great. I love it. And you're changing the world. I mean, I don't know if you even realize this. I mean, you're an author. You're, you know, a vegan educator. You are literally changing the world. Why did you choose children to kind of like that's more of your audience than you probably know. You talk to everybody, but children is kind of like your thing. Why did you choose children?
Well, I'm an artist before I'm a writer, and I was teaching art at an after-school program, and the kids were all very curious why I wasn't, you know, eating the cheese and drinking the milk that they were served at recess. And when I went to find a book that we could look at together and talk about, everything I saw was a talking animal or a talking vegetable. And again, I just felt like, A, that takes away from the children's intelligence and also from the rich emotional lives, the real emotional lives of animals. So I created these books that I wanted to see in the marketplace because I was an artist and I was also interested in social justice and politics, and I was able to put those two passions together.
The book is called The Help Yourself Cookbook for Kids. It's by Ruby Roth. She not only wrote it, but she did the incredible illustration. Even if you're not vegan and even if you don't have kids, I'm going to recommend you pick up a copy of this just to look through it and see these delicious recipes and look at the artwork and look at the photography. It is, I like things simple. As you know, if you've been my listener for quite some time, I like simple. I don't like to, even in my podcast, it's simple. It's 20 minutes long generally. I don't go into like incredible weird details. I just kind of like, I like to make things easy for people. And I love this book just because I like things easy. So Ruby, it's coming out April 5th. I think by the time it comes out, this podcast will have already, it'll be, I believe, probably around April 5th or a little bit past that. But what's the easiest way that my listeners can actually grab themselves a copy?
The books will be available wherever books are sold, so online or in stores. And I encourage people to get them from bookstores because I think that also tells the bookstore that people are interested in these kinds of books. But I'm happy for people to order anywhere, and they'll also be able to get them at my website, wedonteatanimals.com.
That is great. And I'm going to ask Danielle, who is my great assistant. Danielle, let's get a, she puts the show notes up every week, pretty much the day a podcast comes out. They come out every Monday. Danielle is really good about getting the show notes right up within 24 hours, usually less. So Danielle, let's make sure we get a copy of this book up on the show notes so people can see it and make it really easy for people to find a way to get it. And, this has been great. Ruby, the time just goes too fast. And I thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy woman. You got a lot going on. You're probably already thinking about your next book, I'm guessing.
Stay tuned.
But thanks so much for being on the show today. And I invite you back anytime. I always welcome you and your information and your passion for healthy living and living animal free, except for pets. Of course, we love pets. I've got three cats right here, so I can't say animal free totally, but we don't eat animals. We don't use animals for entertainment. We don't wear animals. I know that. So Ruby,
thank you for your work and for all you do for your audience as well. I appreciate being on the show tremendously.
Well, I back at you on that one, and let's have you back another time and have a great day. And good luck with your book, Ruby. I just wish you all the luck in the world. It's a great project. I know it's going to do well.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. Please be sure to join us again next week. And remember, you are no longer alone.